Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat.
That is rock icon Lou Reed.
Went to the
with what was almost certainly the first hit song about transsexuality and male prostitutes.
Walk on the Wild Side.
1972 hit Walk on the Wild Side, which was produced by David Bowie. When Lou Reed died earlier this week of liver failure, tributes started pouring in about the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and one-time member of the Velvet Underground and his contributions and his influence on other musicians. But when I heard the news, my first reaction was, wait a minute, Lou Reed just had a liver transplant 6 months ago. And this is a topic I've talked about several times on this show because we don't have nearly enough people who are organ donors in this country, so there aren't nearly enough organs available to transplant into people who need them. So since Lou Reed was 71 and had gone through alcohol and drug addiction in his life, why was he given a liver? Here to talk about that, Dr. Art Kaplan, who's director of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center and a frequent contributor to the show. Art, welcome back to America Weekend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What was your reaction when you heard about Lou Reed?
It's funny, I asked the exact same questions you did, Paul. I was a little surprised that he did get a liver transplant. Remember, Lou Reed lived in New York, and he got his transplant in Cleveland, at the Cleveland Clinic. Most people who get a transplant get it where they live, so to speak. They're not 1,000 miles away getting a transplant. So how did he come to be there? And what was he doing in terms of getting on a list in Ohio rather than where his home is? The system has two steps, just so listeners understand. One is you have to get on a waiting list. That part of the system is driven by individual transplant centers making judgments about who they will and they won't take. So to get on the national waiting list, you have to pass through the door of somebody's transplant center. I have a feeling Lou Reed was thought of as too old and perhaps too sick in New York, and he wound up going to Cleveland because they said, we'll take him. We're willing to take older people. We're willing to take sicker people. Is that fair? Well, it gives an advantage to people with money because you have to be able to get to Ohio, stay there, get worked up. Probably your insurance company won't pay for the second evaluation. They paid for the one in New York, not Cleveland. So it favors people who are rich.
So, yeah, this is not a matter of his money passing hands to somebody else as a bribe.
Correct.
This is
it's
just
basically just saying, you know what, I can get in a jet, I can live in a hotel, I can pay my own medical bill when I'm out there, I have more money than others who are waiting, so I'm going to travel to an entirely different part of the country with a hospital that takes people like me as opposed to maybe someplace locally that won't take me, and that gives me my break.
Why are the standards different state by state if we have a national registry for transplants?
Well, I'm not sure they should be, and I'm not sure I can defend it, but to explain it, it's that transplant grew up kind of as a mom-and-pop business. We know it's a national list, and it's got all kinds of laws governing organ donation, and once you're on these lists, there are rules about who goes first and so on. But in the early days, a center might have been a new program and not willing to take riskier patients. A center might have been a very sophisticated one that had done a lot, and they said, yeah, we'll try people who are a little sicker. So it kind of grew out of the evolution of the field, if you will, but no one has sat down and said, wait a minute, if you're too old at 71 in New York, why aren't you too old at 71 in Ohio?
Was he too old at 71? I mean, even if he had not had the abusive lifestyle he'd had when it came to drugs and alcohol the rest of his life, if he had just developed a liver disease, do 71-year-olds get livers often?
No, they don't. And if you ask me, the whole fairness principle in distributing very scarce life-saving livers and other organs should be to get not only people's lives saved, but to get more years of life saved. So I would argue the right thing to do is to push the supply toward younger people.
Yeah.
Now, and, you know, once in a while you get a rare blood type in a liver, some weird biological thing, and the only person who could take it is Lou Reed. It just happens to fit him, and if you will, there's a match there that no one else on that day could take. If that happens, great, then I don't have an issue. But younger people first would be my rule. Just on the principle, you should get more life years out of the scarce supply that you've got.
Absolutely. You've got a 25-year-old with liver disease. You've got a 71-year-old with liver disease. The list should push the 71-year-old down.
Exactly. And I think that's fair, and I think that's what most Americans would expect. You want to give I'm not trying to be ageist or say that 71-year-olds aren't sometimes more interesting than 25-year-olds, but in general, you've lived your life as you get older. You haven't had a shot at life when you're younger. I think that makes an ethical difference.
Yeah, and by the way, that 71-year-old could live 20 more years,
oh, yeah.
And the 25-year-old could be hit by a car tomorrow.
So, and or the 25-year-old could be sick as a dog, and the 71-year-old could be running their next marathon. I get all that, but the general principle is skew young.
We've been through this before. We had this controversy, and by the way, as far as I know, Art, you and I are the only ones who are talking about this. The rest of the world is like, oh my goodness, we lost Lou Reed.
Exactly, the Velvet Underground. I saw them when I was 20.
Yeah, by the way, I'm not sure the whole rest of the world is talking about it. I think it's the people over 50 who are talking about it.
Yes, I agree.
But we went through this many years ago with Mickey Mantle, the same discussion, although that one was held.
And by the way, remember Steve Jobs? He, too, started in California. Needed a liver, waited because he was pursuing alternative medicine, so he got himself sicker. Then all of a sudden he gets transplanted. If you recall, it was in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing as Lou Reed did.
When are we going to have that discussion? Or I guess a better question would be, who should have that discussion to set policy so that these controversies become a thing of the past?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you need to have Congress push the existing system to extend more uniformity to the individual transplant centers about who they take in. There is an advantage right now. If you're wealthier, you tend to get in faster than people who don't have insurance, let's say. That's what I call the wallet biopsy test, which everybody has to pass to get through the door.
Yeah.
And then, you know, age and level of illness, we could do a little bit more standardization than we do. We've done it in distributing the organs. We ought to do it in the admissions process. So, you know, it's Medicare could push for this or Congress.
Speaking of level of illness, how much of your health history has to come into play here? I've mentioned a couple of times now Lou Reed's health history. Obviously, that's what got him into trouble with his liver in the first place. And obviously, anybody who's going in for a liver transplant, they've had a bad health history. So,
right.
So how does
if you want to shorten up that waiting list, kick out all the people who harm themselves, you'll have no problem with rationing or distributing these organs because there'll be three people left on the list. You know,
but we can't
liver transplants go to people who swallow bottles of pills and take drugs, and it's not a pretty picture all the time.
But we can't do that, can we? In much the same way, we can't tell smokers, "Well, you smoked, you can't have a lung."
We could. It just turns out that sin is so common that you wind up excluding everybody if you're going to treat like cases alike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we get rid of smokers. What about people who ride horses? What about people who own pools and slip and fall into them? You know, they build orthopedic clinics at the bottom of ski slopes. It's telling you something.
And how much of this discussion should also be about the lack of organ donors in this country?
It should be about this. You know, we've been sort of kicking around poor Lou Reed here a bit with age and his lively lifestyle. But at the end of the day, we are shorter than we should be on supply. I think people should sign donor cards. I think they should support the system. One thing I can say in a practical way is it isn't enough to sign your donor card or register in your state when you're getting your license renewed to say you want to do this. They put your name in a computer. You got to talk about it with your friends and family so they know you did it.
Yep.
The biggest obstacle to organ donation is vetoes that come from friends and family who don't know that that's something you wanted to do.
I think that the system should be opt-in automatically. The default should be that you've opted in, and only if you check a box can you opt out of that.
I don't know why we don't go to that. I agree. I think, again, it still respects choice, but why burden the people who want to do it, who are in the majority by all the polls? Why not let the minority who don't want to do it, it's their problem to bother with the card and tell their next of kin and put their name on the computer? I think we'd do much better if we had a system that opted us all in and then asked people to opt out if they don't want to do it.
Wouldn't it be a nice day, Art, if we had a surplus of livers and we said, all right, so you gave one to Lou Reed and he only lived 4 months. Okay, we got plenty.
Yeah. Well, someday maybe we'll engineer up cells, that's the stem cell research, and grow back parts of the liver. But not tomorrow morning. We're going to still have this problem.
Dr. Art Kaplan, Director of the Division of Medical Ethics at NYU Langone Medical Center. Art, it's always a pleasure.
Hey, my pleasure.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America Weekend.